You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we are recapping the Bears' 41-9 win over the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about how much seemed to go right defensively, maybe how things came together offensively, and where there were some moments where we were scratching our head as to, you know, why some of this offense was still lingering in the game through the fourth quarter. And then we'll wrap up with a little bit more of a look ahead to where this kind of leaves the Bears entering an important stretch of NFC North games. Now, just a quick programming note and update. I mentioned on the last episode of Locked On Bears, which would have been all the way back to last Monday, that the next couple weeks here would be a bit more sporadic in terms of podcasting. Last Monday, I left for Australia. I am currently recording this podcast right now in Australia, I think 15 hours ahead of Central Time, so I'm seeing the future. I'm seeing the world upside down on the other side of the planet. And so the Bears game against the Bills kicked off at 4 a.m. local time, and I will tell you that I did not stay up to watch it live, but I have since watched the replay on NFL Game Pass, and am, of course, now here to talk all things Bears. And again, I'm not certain how regular the podcast will be this coming week, but it is going to be something we'll try and do our best with here, and I will be back in the States next Monday to try and get us going back on a more normal Locked On Bears schedule. But again, enough about me, enough about the literal kangaroo I can see from where I'm sitting right now. I hopefully, if you listen real closely, you might be able to hear the bugs and the birds of Australia in the background, so I apologize for the lack of crystal clear silence behind my voice. I hope it's not loud or particularly distracting for you, because we did get to see impressive Bears victory, even though they were, I didn't get to see it with you live. I was already watching. It was already Monday for me when the Bears kicked off. But we saw this Bears defense get back to the level that we saw them earlier in the season, that confidence, that energy that just hadn't necessarily been there in recent weeks. I think we started to see glimpses of it against the New York Jets, but it was clear through about the second quarter of this Bills game that everything was all clicking together. And for me, a lot of this performance came back down to some of the same things I feel like we've talked about on this podcast a few times over the course of the season, and that is just the utter importance of the pass rush on this team as a whole. It's really a massive ripple effect that comes back to how well they've been able to pressure the opposing quarterbacks. We saw them really get after Nathan Peterman, which isn't necessarily the most difficult thing to do, but clearly it has an effect on the quarterback performance. And even without Khalil Mack, it's critical that they got that going in this game. You know, Akeem Hicks getting a lot of pressure, even though he didn't get any sacks. Aaron Lynch getting the quarterback, getting a sack in there as well. Roy Robertson-Harris, Isaiah Irving getting home. Nick Williams had quite a bit of pressure as well, coming from that defensive line spot. He stood out to me as an impressive guy on the first watch through. Not a lot of overall pressure from Leonard Floyd, but he got in there and got that pick six, and I think that's just a direct result of the pass rush. It allows Kyle Fuller to be more aggressive, to jump that route and play that catch point more aggressively and contest that catch radius of the receiver, putting it up there for Leonard Floyd to be able to go get it. Same thing happens with Adrian Amos's interception. Kyle Fuller is allowed to be more aggressive and feels more comfortable and more confident being more aggressive because he knows that pass rush has been affecting the quarterback. They know the ball is trying to come out quickly because of that pass rush, and he knows that Peterman is going to give him a chance to make a play on the ball. So phenomenal game from Kyle Fuller, even though he didn't get either of the interceptions there on those two plays. He still was the guy who probably did the most work there. I mean, he didn't have to catch the ball, but if it's not for him breaking up those passes and making the play at the catch point, he wouldn't have set up Amos and Floyd for their interception. So a lot of credit to Kyle Fuller in this game for a great performance, and Eddie Jackson as well, able to step up, be aggressive, and you know, go for the ball. Not even necessarily the full-formed tackle. Run over, go for the ball, go for the strip, pulls it out. And he can be aggressive, again, because the defense has this confidence. They have this energy. They're forcing the ball out quickly. They're forcing less accurate passes from Nathan Peterman. And when they got that confidence, that energy, that trust in each other, you know, Jackson can know that his teammates are going to be right there to help him wrap up on the underneath ball. And then from there, it's just about making plays after the catch. So I think it was critical for this game to get that pass rush going. And perhaps even more critical in that Khalil Mack, again, does not play. They're still able to consistently pressure the quarterback with a collective group effort from defensive linemen, from blitzing linebackers, from different outside linebackers getting involved. Isaiah Irving off the bench making an impact. Nick Williams, like I said, off the bench making an impact. And it's too bad Bilal Nichols wasn't able to go in a game like this, because I thought he too would have had a pretty easy time making an impact with that pass rush. But it starts with that pass rush. The pass rush leads to turnovers and playmaking by the defense, puts the offense in a much easier place to be able to go to Jordan Howard, to be able to take some pressure off of Mitchell Trubisky, and not necessarily need the offense to score, you know, five touchdowns to try and pull away with this game. This was a defensive-led performance through and through. I can only imagine how much fun it would have been to see this Bears defense play like that in the Bills stadium. You know, I don't know if I would necessarily gone all the way to Buffalo for it, but heck, I flew to Australia last week, so I'm willing to go anywhere. And if you're sitting at home thinking, man, I want to see this Bears defense in action, then you got to download the Vivid Seats app and get your tickets to Soldier Field. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets on all the live events you want to go to. Not just Bears games, but Bulls games, other sporting events, plus concerts and live shows as well. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving Locked On Bears listeners an exclusive promo code to receive $20 off your first purchase of $200 or more. Grab yourself a pair of Bears Lions tickets and you can take $20 off just like that. Every purchase on Vivid Seats is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to the App Store, Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, enter the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off your order of $200 or more. Go see your NFC North leading Chicago Bears and let Vivid Seats help you get there. Up next, we'll look at the Bears offense and maybe a few of the head scratchers in addition to the positives that we saw in this game. And we'll take a look at some of the lingering questions with kind of how that game wrapped up and why the starters, so many of them, were out on the field towards the very end. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Today on Locked On Bears, I'm coming to you live from Australia, so I apologize if you hear the magpies and the loud birds and bugs in the background out here in the wild, in the outback. I'll spare you a cheesy Australian accent here, but still talking Bears, Bills, even while we're down under here. And, you know, we just wrapped up talking about an impressive performance from the Bears defense, and it certainly does overshadow what the offense was able to do. It wasn't particularly, you know, clean and overly impressive in any specific way, but they got the job done. You know what I mean? Certainly, even with two defensive touchdowns, you're not getting to 41 points without some significant impact from the offense there. And, you know, it was a lot of the same from Mitchell Trubisky in terms of some inaccurate throws, but still hitting guys downfield when he needed to and doing enough to get the offense going. Same with Jordan Howard. You know, a few too many of those short runs with the offensive line, not necessarily opening things up, but gets the two touchdowns, gets to run over Jordan Poyer near the goal line. A great play, a great individual effort throughout this game from the running back who continues to fight to fight the narrative of not being a great fit in the offense and fight the rumors that sort of swirl around him and really sticking to his guns. Even when he only gets 14 carries and 47 yards, it still feels like Jordan Howard had a good game. You know, it didn't take itself in terms of yards and total production, but on a run-to-run basis, this guy is still running hard, still fighting hard, and really fighting to the very end because, you know, I'm still left confused as to why Trubisky and these starters really played almost up until the end of the game. I mean, Chase Daniel doesn't come in until the last three plays that he took a knee for that last drive of the game. And I guess there's some pros and cons to this. And, you know, this kind of goes along a few different questionable, just kind of head scratchers that went along with this game, which I'll get into in a minute. But I get you want to have Trubisky still out there because he's been inaccurate on some throws. Maybe just, you know, this experience is valuable for him in that sense. And the more he can throw, the more he can face what opposing defenses are going to throw at him. I guess that can be a good thing. But for me, man, that injury risk feels a little bit high. I mean, especially kind of as you're going here, even in that fourth quarter with such a lead, you're not even just handing the ball off every single time. And I know, you know, he throws on third and five to try and get that first down. They get the pass interference deep down the field to Anthony Miller, but they still come up passing again, and eventually he gets the Trey Burton touchdown. But when you're up 34-9 with what it would have been about 5 minutes and 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter, I don't really particularly want my young quarterback dropping back to pass at that point. You know, it's one thing when it's, say, middle of the third quarter and it's 28-3, sure. Don't take the foot off the gas. I understand keeping the offense out there, trying to stay aggressive, trying to put points on the board, and really, you know, don't let the game slip right from your grasp. You know, drive the hammer through, drive the nail into the heart, and make sure these Buffalo Bills aren't going to come back. But then, you know, Trubisky throws that interception in the third quarter and just really, really misses Trey Burton badly downfield, and you're already up 31-3 at that point. From there, that should be kind of your, okay, maybe you want him to throw a couple more times to get that good feeling again, but once that fourth quarter starts, man, and you know, you drive down and you score with Cody Parkey to make it 34-3, at that point, I'm taking Mitch Trubisky out. I'm not risking any type of injury, and I'm going to just hand it off every time to Jordan Howard or Tariq Cohen or Benny Cunningham or Taquan Mizell. I mean, you're using four running backs and a fullback in this game, and you're already up big. Just a little bit questionable there, especially after what happened at the end of the last game against the New York Jets. Kyle Long gets rolled up on. You know, any one of these plays could be the next, you know, starting right guard going on injured reserve. And I get that they don't have 10 offensive linemen to the point where they can just put in a full line of backups. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to pick favorites there, but like, okay, we'll take out Charles Leno, but not Bobby Massey, because, you know, that can kind of look bad and send the wrong message to certain individual players. But your quarterback is always an exception to those rules, and you do not want this guy getting hurt. Obviously, you got to take Mitch out of the game, and when you have four active, healthy running backs, including a second-year former undrafted free agent in Taquan Mizell, who could certainly eat up some carries, I don't know why you keep going to Jordan Howard, you know, and I don't know why you keep going to Taylor Gabriel, who leaves with a knee injury. I mean, you almost had that same injury scare from Kyle Long. And fortunately, Nagy said after the game that Gabriel kind of just tweaked something he'd been kind of dealing with and called it, I think, soreness. And Gabriel had been on the injury report with a knee injury, so it's potentially something to do with that. But it sounds like the Bears aren't particularly concerned from Taylor Gabriel's injury standpoint, but that should have been the biggest red flag right there. Okay, maybe you need to get some of these starters off the field. Get more snaps for Josh Bellamy at that point in the game. Get the fullback Michael Burton in there. You know, Daniel Brown, the number three tight end. Find, you got backups. They're active. They're healthy. They've played some snaps. Get Javon Wims in the game. Get your starters off the field when you're blowing out the Buffalo Bills. But hey, that fourth quarter field goal and touchdown really pushed this game to the over on the point total for Las Vegas. It was projected to be a pretty low-scoring game, but they hit that 50 mark, and I'm sure a lot of bettors out there cashed in. If you were expecting a Bears blowout and wished you would have put some money down on the game, don't make the same mistake this week against the Detroit Lions. You got to check out mybookie.ag. It is the place to put down cash and win big today. MyBookie is one of the highest rated online sports books. They have a great mobile site. They've been in this business for years, so you know you can trust them with your money. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we recommend MyBookie.ag. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar when you use the promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. MyBookie even has live in-game betting and some of the most rewarding player perks in the business. So if you haven't tried it out yet, this is the week to sign up at MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid. Still to come, we look at where the Bears stand now following their win over the Buffalo Bills and what it means as they prepare for back-to-back-to-back NFC North games, starting with the Detroit Lions on Sunday. That's next on Locked On Bears. It is Victory Monday for all you Bears fans out there. I hope you've been enjoying your start of the week after a Bears win. I will be enjoying Victory Tuesday for me over here in Australia. And again, I apologize if you can hear any bugs or birds or kangaroos, dingoes, wallabies, magpies, various snakes and spiders as well, kind of all around in this area here. I'm still bringing you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis and breaking down what we saw in the Bears win over the Bills. But I want to kind of turn a little bit more forward facing because, yes, it was a 41-9 victory over the Bills, and that's a great scoreline to see, and it was the defensive performance we've been waiting for a few weeks. But the going's going to get tough here real soon, and the Buffalo Bills aren't exactly the most accurate barometer of where the Bears are going to stand once we get into this Detroit Lions game on Sunday. You know, first of all, a lot of wacky things seem to go on when the Bears play the Lions. Not necessarily, you know, football follies level wacky, but it's a lot of back and forth, a lot of volatility in these Bears-Lions matchups where no matter how these two teams have played leading up to the game, it all kind of goes out the window when they meet on the field. So for me, as we're going to get into more this week, throw out almost everything we've seen on both of these teams heading into the game. It's hard to really carry any trends moving forward as far as what they've necessarily done over the course of the season, especially this Lions team that's beaten some teams they shouldn't have and lost to some teams that they shouldn't have lost to. But as far as the Bears go coming into this game, I mean, even in a 41-9 win over the Bills, was still a little bit too sloppy at times, you know, when you start to parse through it. And, you know, haven't gone through the All-22 film or anything yet, but, you know, you just look at the penalties. Prince Amukamara flagged 4 times, and one of those, I believe, was offset, or was it declined? I don't remember exactly, but one of them didn't end up counting. But, you know, pass interference, illegal contact, defensive holding, you can't have that when you start playing these critical division games. Charles Leno flagged for 3 times, the back-to-back false starts. You can't have those types of penalties, those types of mistakes when you move into these, again, critical NFC North games. Because even as the Bears extend their division lead ever so slightly here, and certainly start to pull a little bit more away from the 3-5 Lions, even at 5-3, I mean, this Bears team will need every division win they possibly can if they want to win the NFC North, or if they want to make sure they are a wild card team, because I can't imagine they're going to finish more than 1 or 2 wins away from wherever the Vikings and Packers finish. You know, whatever order all those teams finish in, it seems like it's probably going to be 9, 10, 11 wins for all three of them in some order there. So when these Lions, Vikings, Lions back-to-back-to-back start popping up here, the Bears need to be at their best. And it didn't even feel like they were at their best against the Bills. You know, we still saw Mitchell Trubisky missing too many throws, misses bad downfield and overthrowing Trey Burton for an interception. Still a few of those kind of easy gimme plays that he should make on underneath throws where the accuracy just isn't quite there. And the Bears didn't need him to carry them very far. They didn't need 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. I mean, really, his stat line was about as game managerially as you could imagine. 12 of 20 for 135 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He got the job done, and that's great, but that might not get the job done against Detroit and against Minnesota. And he seems to be doing a good job of playing at least to the level of competition he's facing, but they're going to need better from Mitch. They're going to need better from everybody around Mitch, too. They're going to need this offensive line to step up. Wasn't a great game for them, despite the quality of opponent. And, you know, this Bills defense is not something to be overlooked, so I'm not overly concerned. I mean, give the Bills some credit for having a defense that can test the Bears' offense a little bit in that sense, but you know, again, you never want to come into a Lions game with any kind of extra sloppiness that can, you know, with some extra fat that you could trim off the top. You know, the O-line still isn't creating as much as you want in the running game for Jordan Howard. The pass protection wasn't amazing for Mitchell Trubisky, and, you know, we can get more into the Lions defense specifically as the week goes on. But again, I just, for something about Bears-Lions where they just go back and forth in a way that's just volatile and unpredictable. And even, you know, you look at the Bears' defense, the pass rush got going against the Bills, but it can even be better. You know, Leonard Floyd can still produce more as a pass rusher. You know, I think Aaron Lynch can even do a little bit more. And Akeem Hicks, I don't know how much more you can ask from him, but if Bilal Nichols comes back and he can get some more pass rush going, if Khalil Mack, they activate Khalil Mack for the Detroit Lions, you know, there's a lot of ways that this Bears pass rush can get even better. And if they can, like we talked about at the beginning, the pass rush gets better, the defense gets more energy, more confidence, more aggressiveness, that leads to more playmaking, that leads to less pressure on Trubisky and the offense, and it's ultimately that winning formula for this 2018 Bears team. So I don't want you to feel like I'm harping on things they did wrong and mistakes they made against the Bills, because all of it is saying, hey, look, the Bears beat a team 41-9, and they can still do better. They can still do a lot better than what we saw on Sunday. And that's, I mean, that should be encouraging more than anything. I mean, this is a Bears team that can do some real damage when everything is clicking. And not everything's clicking yet. And that's fine. We're at the midway point of the season. I think now, what would it be, a full 8 games under their belts. And, you know, this is the home stretch now. This is the divisional matchups. This is starting to decide the playoffs, the division crown, and ultimately the success of Matt Nagy's first year in Chicago. No matter how it goes down, we'll be here on Locked On Bears, bringing you daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Even if it's not perhaps as daily and regularly scheduled, just this coming week, it will be my last week in Australia. Then next week, I'll be back, and hopefully, if I can get over some quick jet lag, we'll be right back to our regularly scheduled programming next week after the Lions game. Either way, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast on whatever app it is you use to listen to shows. That'll be the best way to keep up with all of our podcasts. You can also join the conversation on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. I know it's been a little bit light with, again, me down under and in a very different time zone and all that, but we'll be right back into the swing of things as soon as I get back. There's still some lingering Bears talk going there, so I hope you'll check that out and join us there. You can also still use the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, 312-620-8590. That I can still get calls with while I am abroad here for the next week. It can still answer your Bears questions, whether it be by voicemail or text. That is the best way to get your voice heard right here on the podcast. They're all great ways to celebrate a Victory Monday, and I hope it makes it that much easier to bear down.